active participation in community and school resilience projects. At 9 on Political Perspectives, Radio Eco Shock host Alex Smith is interviewed about this long hot summer of 2015 and climate change. At 10, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15, hear Flashpoints Investigative News Radio with host Dennis Bernstein. And at 11 on The Dirtbag, host Glenn Anderson and guest Jim Gilbert want to hear about your gardening experiments this year. And they will share some of their own, including Jim's Seaberry Breeding Program. Thanks for listening to KBOO Community Radio, and thanks KBOO members for your generous support. If you are not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today.
Now stay tuned. We interview Sid Maurer, who lost her job as a TV news anchor after testing positive for marijuana.
KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Sid Maurer is a journalist, formerly a news anchor at television station KEZI in Eugene, Oregon. She was subjected to a drug test by the station, and because the test came up positive for marijuana, she was fired. Oregon legalized marijuana for adults back in November of 2014. And as of July 1st, adults are legally allowed to possess and cultivate limited amounts of marijuana in private. Yet Oregon employers still test for marijuana and can still fire someone who tests positive. Rather than stay quiet about it and look for another corporate gig, Sid spoke out. She's becoming an advocate, and she's my guest today. Sid, it's good to finally meet you. How are you? How's things going?
Thank you. It's great to meet you, too. Oh, things are going well. It's been a crazy last couple weeks, but it's been really fun and exciting as well. So,
right on. Now, this did just happen, and I want to ask you about all that. But first, tell us a bit about your background.
Okay. I am 25. I am a graduate from the University of Oregon and still live in Eugene, Oregon. And I worked in the local news industry here in Eugene for almost 3 years, starting right out of college. And it was just recently at the very end of May when I lost my job. And then just about 3 weeks ago that I came out of the cannabis closet and decided to speak about this issue.
I saw from your LinkedIn profile, you worked at KMTR, a TV station in Eugene, before your job at KEZI. Now, did you have to undergo the pre-employment drug screens at either of those?
Yes. At both stations, I had to undergo pre-employment drug screening. So, you know, to get both jobs, I abstained from using marijuana of any kind for months, you know, in order to get the job, just because I knew that that was required, basically. So for both jobs, I did that. And the reason I stopped working at KMTR after 1 year was because the station went under a sale and 30 or so of the 50 employees were laid off, including myself. So that was unfortunate. But then I was quickly hired at KZI along with a handful of my former coworkers at KMTR as well. So it was nice. It worked out in the end.
Now, as I understand it, so it was back in May, you were in a minor fender bender on your way to do a news report. As a result of that fender bender, the corporate policy called for you to have your urine tested. Then you tested positive for the metabolite, and so they fired you. Do I have all that right?
Yep, that's correct.
One of the key points that everyone on all sides have to acknowledge is that urine tests show nothing about impairment. They don't show recent use. I mean, really, they're useless, especially when it comes to detecting marijuana use. The THC metabolite is fat-soluble. It stays in the system for weeks after someone stops using. Now, blood test for actual THC can almost kind of show recent use, though that doesn't even show impairment. Now, given your experience, what do you think about companies that make their employees submit to urine tests?
I think that, you know, when it comes to pre-employment drug screening, I truly believe that they're limiting their job, their applicant pool. There are so many responsible, intelligent people who choose to use cannabis in their free time who will just either simply not apply to those jobs or, you know, are worried to apply because they realize, you know, what they have to do to, you know, undergo the employment process. In my case, where it was, you know, a minor accident involved, I believe that since, as you've pointed out, those tests do not show impairment at the time, shouldn't it be on the burden of the company to have to prove that I was not sober at the time, seeing as there's no correlation between cannabis users and traffic accidents? There's no correlation between cannabis users and being, you know, risky employees or dangerous employees. So therefore, I don't understand why it should be my burden to prove that I was obviously completely sober during that day. You know, it just doesn't make sense to me. There's no rightful reason that the liability, it really does come down to the insurance companies and liability. And I want to know where those numbers really work out in favor to be drug testing people when it's not actually limiting any risk to the company, if that makes sense.
There's a big difference between how people view marijuana use and how people view use of alcohol or tobacco. I mean, it is alcohol, tobacco, and other drugs. Yet a lot of people create this artificial distinction, like there are drugs on one hand and alcohol or tobacco on the other. As far as I know, there are no companies in Oregon currently testing for tobacco use. You know, actually around the U.S., some healthcare corporations actually do test for tobacco, at least during the pre-employment. Alcohol use on the job is discouraged, but, you know, use on the weekend or any time after work is generally accepted. What do you think about that stuff?
I absolutely think it's hypocritical, and I think that pointing out that double standard is one of the only ways to get people, especially those unfamiliar with cannabis, to understand why these policies need to change. I mean, science has proven that alcohol is more dangerous and more harmful and more addictive and intoxicating in every way compared to cannabis. Yet, it's not only accepted as a vice, it's often encouraged. And I mean, even at company parties and whatnot, it's something that is accepted. It's talked about around the office, how, you know, drunk someone got over the weekend, or how they really can't wait for their first drink when they get off, or their first drink or five when they get off work. And it's totally okay to talk about. And it was something that was really getting frustrating for me for a long time. And I also would like to point out that you're right, that there is, for some reason, this different treatment towards cannabis users. If someone is a cannabis user in their free time, someone in their employment, you know, pool, whether it's a coworker or a supervisor, finds out, I feel like the immediate question is, how can we trust you to not show up high? Whereas it is completely accepted and known that a lot of employees drink in their free time, but they're never questioned, how can we trust you to not show up drunk? Well, if you're comparing the two, and alcohol is far more addictive than marijuana, I don't understand why it'd be more questioned that someone would be using cannabis before work. It doesn't make sense. And I think that we need to be talking about this double standard and really pointing out how unfair it is if we want people to realize why these policies need to change.
Now, if you'd been working in some kind of a safety-sensitive industry, you know, transportation, some kind of thing involving heavy machinery, I suppose people could make an argument about testing and sobriety and all the rest. But you worked for a news company. You worked for a media company doing news reporting. I mean, that's not what you'd call a safety-sensitive position. And yet you have to. The employers you had are not unique. A lot of the majors, the major networks and such, do urine testing of employees. Do you think that with that kind of thing in the double standard, do you think that that influences some of the coverage that we see in from some of the mainstream media outlets, the way they cover marijuana versus how they cover, for instance, a beer fest?
You know, I really think it all comes back to society. And maybe I'm naive in that because I've only worked in local news. But, you know, there were never discussions about how we would report on, you know, a marijuana story versus an alcohol story. It just happens to be that there are beer fests. And then we report on beer fests. So it ends up being, you know, a happy, fun event. And then there are stories about people being arrested for marijuana possession. And then, you know, both those stories are reported pretty neutrally, but regardless, one is a positive story while the other is a negative story, if that makes sense. And another thing is, you know, we did do a lot, especially with the new legislation in Oregon, a lot of stories leading up to, you know, cannabis being legalized. And because there's so little knowledge by a lot of my coworkers and a lot of, you know, just people in general who are just in the common public, I think that that kind of maybe clouded the way things were told. But I really think that it was all, you know, innocently done. And I know that there were a lot of discussions about how to label stories. And I was kind of vocal in not labeling it, you know, for instance, like cannabis concerns. You know, I said, why should we label, you know, these stories something with a negative undertone? What about, you know, learning more about cannabis or something like that? And we all agreed that the more neutral, the better. So I do think that at least at the local level, there's effort to not have any bias, but, you know, maybe not so much on the corporate or larger scales.
Well, and that depends on someone speaking up. Now, how has been the reaction that you've been getting? I mean, I'm sure people, it's been in the news. You certainly have gotten some reaction. I've noted a few things on Facebook. I've taken a look at your blog. How, in particular, I mean, friends, family, the public, but what's been your reaction from other journalists?
Or has there been journalists, any? You know, well, from people, I have to say from friends and coworkers that I had that I worked with every day who had, you know, completely no control over whether or not I lost my job, they've been completely supportive of me and said, you know, they obviously can't, you know, vocally support me, but that they, you know, even if they aren't cannabis supporters themselves, really are, you know, happy that I'm standing up for something I believe in. And they understand that I should have kept my job, that, you know, they were very confused when I lost my job. The company didn't tell anyone why I lost my job. They just sent out a very, you know, generic note saying Sid no longer works here. Please treat her as a stranger in the building. And so I kind of met with former friends or, you know, former coworkers who are still my friends to explain what happened. And so far, most people have been very supportive. And you know, to be honest, I think that the people who aren't supportive just are kind of not approaching me about it, if that, you know, kind of, I think that does kind of make sense that they are, you know, kind of intimidated to confront me about it.
Very cool. As I say, I've seen some comments on your blog, and it's been very, very positive. Now, well, your blog. You have a blog now. What made you decide to start that up and tell people where they can find it, by the way?
Well, it's askmeaboutmarijuana.com. I love to write and I love to talk, as you probably already guessed. And I just feel so passionately about this, that the facts are so in our favor and that the science and research is out there, and that if people really understood the truth about cannabis and understood the double standards that are out there with far worse substances like alcohol, tobacco, and many pharmaceuticals, that the social acceptance is inevitable. And I felt like I just needed to speak up, and through a blog and through my video, that was just the easiest way for me to get my message out there to as many people as possible. So I, you know, like I said, I feel like it's inevitable, but I didn't want to just sit back and wait for it to happen anymore. I really thought that I could hopefully, you know, make a little difference and have, be a new voice that people would listen to, that was kind of different than who was speaking out before.
Well, I wish you luck in the future. Now, speaking of the future, what kind of plans do you have? I notice you've got you're going to be doing some more writing, I guess. And any new gigs yet? Are you looking? What do you want to be, an advocate, or do you plan to try and stay with journalism?
I really want to be an advocate. I really want to, you know, use my journalism skills through some sort of successful career that really kind of can go alongside my advocacy. I, you know, if that's in within the cannabis industry, that's awesome. If it's maybe some jobs within the cannabis industry and others, you know, that would be also advocating for just basic rights. Because I really do believe that the right to use cannabis kind of is just a basic human right, you know, that if I'm not harming anyone, I should be able to do it. So I'm blogging for Marijuana Politics, which is a blog site that Anthony Johnson, who worked with Measure 91, has kind of helped form, and along with some other partners. And then I'm also hoping to do some more speaking events, people who approach me to speak. And As far as kind of moving forward with something more stable, I've just been in touch with different companies here in Eugene and in the Portland area to see, you know, what I can do, maybe some PR and marketing and some sort of, you know, something within the industry that can go alongside working with legislation and policies and trying to promote the change that I really, really want to focus on.
Now, any last thoughts for the listeners?
Yeah, I just want to say that, you know, going back to the response that I've had, it's been incredible. I mean, every day still I get messages from people who thank me for talking about this. And there are seriously just, I mean, if hundreds have reached out to me, I believe there are millions of Americans out there who are working, responsible, intelligent, great citizens who also are using cannabis in their free time and have to hide it and feel, you know, trapped almost in their usage. And it's just, it's not fair when it's something that's not harming anyone else and you know, that people should be able to do. And I'm really, really, really happy that I spoke out. And even though some people have been against it, if people have the opportunity to speak out, I promise that the support is overwhelming and it, you know, is totally worth it in the end. So more people should get out there and get out of the cannabis closet and talk about it.
Sid, I got to thank you so much for all your time. I've been speaking with Sid Maurer. She is a journalist and now a marijuana legalization advocate out of Eugene, Oregon.
Thank you so much.
This is Doug McVeigh with KBOO News.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to present The Yes Men Are Revolting as part of the KBOO at the Clinton monthly film series. The Yes Men Are Revolting is a documentary directed by Andy Bickelbaum and Mike Bonanno, which follows the comedy troupe The Yes Men as they stage phony press releases and events to bring attention